February the 15th, 1921. New York City. The operating room of the Kane Summit Hospital. A doctor is performing an appendectomy. In many ways, the events leading to the surgery are uneventful. The patient has complained of severe abdominal pain. The diagnosis is clear: an inflamed appendix. Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane is performing the surgery. In his distinguished 37-year medical career, he's performed nearly 4,000 appendectomies. So this surgery will be uneventful in all except two ways. The first, the novelty of this operation, the use of local anesthesia in major surgery. Dr. Kane is a crusader against the hazards of general anesthesia. He contends that a local application is far safer. Many of his colleagues agree with him in principle, but in order for them to agree in practice, they'll have to see the theory applied. Dr. Kane searches for a volunteer, a patient who's willing to undergo surgery while under local anesthesia. A volunteer is not easily found. Many are squirmish at the thought of being awake during their own surgery. Others are fearful that the anesthesia might wear off too soon. Eventually, however, Dr. Kane finds a candidate. On Tuesday morning, February the 15th, the historic operation occurs. The patient is prepped and wheeled into the operating room. A local anesthetic is applied. As he's done thousands of times, Dr. Kane dissects the superficial tissues and locates the appendix. He skillfully excises it and concludes surgery. During the procedure, the patient complains of only minor discomfort. The volunteer is taken into post-op, then placed in a hospital ward. He recovers quickly and is dismissed just 2 days later. Dr. Kane had proven his theory. Thanks to the willingness of a brave volunteer, Kane demonstrated that the local anesthesia was a viable, even preferable, alternative. But I said there were two facts that made the surgery unique. I've told you the first, the use of local anesthesia. The second is the patient. The courageous candidate for surgery by Dr. Kane was Dr. Kane. To prove his point, Dr. Kane operated on himself. A wise move. The doctor became a patient in order to convince the patients to trust the doctor. I guess you could say, if there was one word that you would use to define this doctor, I would say it would be commitment. Commitment to his profession. Commitment to his cause by operating on himself to prove that it was safe. He believed in what he was doing. He saw the value. It was worth the effort. It was worth the pain. I wonder this morning, how far would you go in order to show something, to show commitment to something you believe in? How far would you go? Would you do whatever it takes in order to get your point across? To prove yourself or to prove something or someone, to prove it to them. To show that your cause had value. Would you be willing to show the same level of commitment that Dr. Kane chose in his scenario? Would you do whatever it takes? Or would you more likely give up at the first hurdle, the first problem, the first sign of busyness in your life? Would you just give up and think, oh, it's not worth it, it's not going to happen? Or will you, would you have commitment? We live in a world where I would suggest that commitment is something that people tend to shy away from at times, especially if and when things get tough. Because don't we know this life at times gets tough, doesn't it? It's tough, it's not always easy. People sometimes can give up on jobs too quickly when it's not what they imagined or things aren't quite going the way they want them to and they hit a problem. Where people get married and perhaps they leave at the first sign of trouble rather than being committed to working through the issues. People maybe start a hobby thinking it will be a great idea and then never really get started. I have a confession this morning for you. I'm a little bit like that with hobbies. I'll find a hobby and think that's a great idea. And to my shame, perhaps I do not start it as I should have done. For example, twice before I eventually did it, I tried to start golf again. First two times didn't work very well, I gave up. I have other times where there's a bike that lies in my shed that Erica will tell you for months I was talking about. For months and months and months, I was saying, I need a bike, I need that particular bike, I'll go out there, I'll get fit, I'll do that. To my shame, and I am trying to work on this now, it's just sat in the garage for the last 3 years. And probably more, I need to get out on that bike. My kids start saying to me, where are you going to get on your bike, Daddy? Motivation enough, perhaps. Other things as well, Lego projects, I thought I'd get on my bike and didn't do it. Lots of different things. Perhaps there's other people where they will be in a position where perhaps they won't put, they'll have a bit of lack of commitment in their studies because perhaps they feel there are better things to do. Or those who perhaps this morning don't follow through with the things that they've promised and lack that commitment. We do live in a world that at times lacks commitment. How are you with commitment today? How are you with commitment? Are you good at commitment? Or does it depend what it is that you're committing to? Because I think we probably all say at times in our lives, we perhaps show a lack of commitment. You've heard mine already. You've heard my issues about commitment in regards to hobbies. I'm sure we've all had those moments. Because commitment, if we're honest, doesn't actually come naturally to us all. It's something that we actually have to work at. It's something that takes effort. It's something that takes perseverance. But when we do decide to be committed to something, it reaps great rewards. It might not be straight off, but eventually it reaps great rewards when we persevere. For example, if you make every effort with your spouse and with your kids, spending time with them, you will reap the rewards of quality relationship. You spend time with your kids, you spend time with your wife, you have good relationship. You don't, and relationships won't be as good if we don't show commitment. Make effort in our work and we reap the reward of job satisfaction and perhaps even in the future, job promotion. Make every effort, this one's for me, to stick at a hobby and we will probably learn a new skill. Or perhaps even we might make some new friends. Study hard for exams and we will get the qualifications which will open up the whole world of opportunity. And there are other things that we could be committed to, that's just a few. We could spend all morning, I suspect, talking about different commitments we can have. But are you committed? What are you committed to? See, what we put our commitment and effort into will often tell you what we value the most. If we want to define commitment, I think you can probably define it something like this. To be dedicated to that which we're called to do. Something that gives us great inspiration, something that gives us great passion. We can have many commitments in this life which are important. But I would suggest this morning that there are two commitments that are the most important commitments you could ever possibly make. And that is commitment to Jesus and commitment to his church. Commitment to relationship with God and commitment to the body of Christ, the local church. You'll often hear sermons about relationship with God, because everything, in the sense of everything that we talk about from our platform when we're preaching, is about God, it is about relationship. So you'll always hear about that. But I wonder when the last time was that you heard a sermon or a series on the importance of commitment to the local church. Because that is what we're going to be doing over these next 3 weeks. What does it look like for you and for me to be committed to the local church? Why should you be committed to the local church? What does that look like? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at. And as you can see from the logo and the image behind, that is what we're looking at in these next few weeks. So let me ask you a question. Why do we need to commit to the local church? As a kind of intro into this series. Well, I'd like to suggest a few brief things. Firstly, because the Bible actually teaches us that we need to commit to the local church. Acts 2 verse 42, where our 242 gatherings, where we eat food and we join with family together, these will be arriving again in the summer. We're going to get back to our 242 days post-COVID, and we're going to meet together, and we're going to eat together, and we're going to do these 242 gatherings. And Acts 2:42 says these words: they would continue devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They gathered together as the body of Christ. Romans 12 verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honour. And then Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Those are just some of the scriptures that talk about commitment to the local church, to the body of Christ. Secondly, I would suggest that the reason why we need to commit to the local church is because we need each other. You need other believers and they need you. The Christian life is not one we'll be successful at if we try to do it on our own. We were designed for relationship with the body of Christ, the church, with fellow believers. Each one of us who know Jesus belong to his family. And can we confine our home together? As 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13 says, the human body is many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. We are family together. You're needed, I'm needed, we are all needed to be part of the body of Christ. And thirdly, it's an opportunity for us to express our love for Christ together in one place. We did that earlier, we worship God together. To be able to worship and to praise his name, to thank him, to honour him, and to be an example to our local communities that Jesus is alive and actually he's really relevant for this world in which we live in, that we don't serve a dead God, we don't serve somebody who's not relevant, but we serve someone who changes lives day after day, moment after moment, minute after minute, all across this world. And my hope and my prayer is that you believe, as I do, that Christ can change our community. That we can see breakthrough, as we were talking about just a few minutes ago. Breakthrough in Fremantle. Breakthrough in Shirley, these areas where our church is placed. Psalm 95, verse 1 to 2 says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. So today and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at what it means to be committed to the local church. Today, we're going to be looking at what it means to be present. What does it mean for you to be committed to being present? What does it mean to you in the following weeks? What does it mean for us to be committed to giving? And thirdly, what does it mean for us to be committed to serve? Those are the three things we're looking at over the next 3 weeks. Commitment to be present, commitment to be giving, commitment to be serving. three really key important parts of being a part of the local church. So commitment to being present. What's that mean? The advancement in technology over the last 10 to 15 years means that much of life can be negated or navigated through the click of a button, through the swipe of a screen, through the call on a phone. You can, in no less than a few minutes, you could book a flight across the other side of the world. You could speak to somebody in another country via social media. You can stream movies, you can book your shopping, you can buy your clothes and anything you could possibly need, and you can do that without going outside your door. You can stay, if you wanted to be a hermit, you could do so. You could stay inside and not have to go out. In recent years, this advancement in technology has meant that Christendom has been able to see growth through Christian TV, Christian radio, social media, meaning that the church services can be viewed by the public without even getting off their sofa in just one click. Back in March 2020, the world came to a standstill as the pandemic hit. Churches suddenly had to go from being in person to meeting online. Technology came to the forefront as churches began to learn what it means to do services online, to record, to perhaps be seeing people over a computer screen and trying to chat and converse and encourage that way. It had its ups and downs, as I'm sure we all remember, as we learned what it meant to connect in a different way, to record videos, to share social media, just to be able to gather together. It was a new world, and this was the first time we could roll out of bed, grab a coffee, switch on our screens, and we didn't have to, if we didn't want to, we didn't even have to get dressed, because we could just watch church online. It was a new world, a new world. We didn't have to get our kids out of bed and getting ready to come into church. We didn't have to have a plan. We didn't have to arrive at church a few minutes and leave the house early enough to be there. And this way of communicating became a lifeline and opened up a load of new opportunities for everybody. In a way that we'd be able to connect to society like we've probably never been able to connect before. And that had its advantages. But as good as these things were, it had its disadvantages too, because something was missing. Face-to-face interaction. Watching a church service and gathering together on a video was good, but it wasn't the same. It's not the same as being able to meet someone like we're doing now and seeing people face to face, seeing people in the flesh. Slowly but surely, as restrictions eased, people moved back into church. Churches began to open again. People slowly came in, and yes, there were restrictions. We had to learn those restrictions, but we were together in the same place. But churches, over the last 2 years, have fought with the same issue. Since the pandemic has finished, churches are not as full as they used to be. Some people haven't ever come back. Some people are still intent on watching online, perhaps because it's easier, because there's other things happening. Perhaps it might be because of fear. But churches are not as full or got back to the normal amount of people as before. And it's something that we've all struggled with and something that we're seeking to address. But then, as much as these things have been good with online, nothing is a substitute for being present. Commitment to be present in the room. Commitment to be present with your brothers and your sisters and doing life together. Because as good as a platform might be where you can see people video link-wise, it's no substitute for being with a person smiling at a person, perhaps shaking a hand, giving a hug. It's nothing quite like that. Nothing quite like being united as the body of Christ. We are relational beings after all, aren't we? And it's how God has created us to be, relational beings. Jesus wants us to be part of church, not just in name, but in presence, in person. And this will take commitment on our part to be present. To be present, not just on a Sunday morning, but present at the other things that we do. Present at those prayer things we're talking about for breakthrough. Present when there's things like ladies' breakfasts, men's breakfasts. Present, being committed to being present in person, in the room. There's nothing like it, and it's really, really important. Guess the question I want to ask you is this. What are your priorities? What are you committed to? Am I being committed to be present in the right places? Are you committed to being present in the places that will make the world a difference? Are you committed to being in church? Are you committed to being part of the journey that we're going on? Only you can answer that question, and there's no judgment, but it's certainly a challenge for us all. Are we being committed to being present? Our reading from Hebrews 10, 25 challenges us to not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Church, at the time when the letter to the Hebrews was written, it wasn't COVID, it was something else. But there were still the same issues of them, were they going to meet together? We have a responsibility to be present in person and in the church. Here are three important reasons, three quick important reasons why you need to be present. Be present and committed to the local church. First of all, is to encourage and motivate each other in faith. 24 and 25 says, we'll read them again. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works and encourage one another. See, committing to be present in church enables us to encourage and motivate our church family and for us to kind of receive the same in return. I don't know about you, but sometimes in this life I find that it can be a bit of a struggle. I can be facing things. And I could easily, at different parts, be at home and struggle. But you make the choice to be committed, to be where God calls us to be. See, if we choose not to be present in the local church, to be present in person, we might just miss out on something really important that's said from the pulpit. That although you could watch it online, it's not the same as being in the place at the time. It might be that you miss a prophetic insight that a friend wants to bring to you because you're not in the building, because you're not experiencing the local church face to face. Could be that word in season or valuable teaching. If we don't commit to be present, we could miss out. Proverbs 27, 17 says it like this. As iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens another. We need each other. We need the family. We need to be present. We need to be challenging, encouraging each other to live for Christ in this generation. I will never know. You will never know what you could do to encourage somebody to change their thought on a situation they're going through. If you don't turn up, if you don't be present. See, remember, church isn't the building, but it is the people. And that's what we're talking about in local church, being with people, being with the local church. But if we're not with the people, if we don't gather like we do on a Sunday, if we don't gather in the week, we could miss out. You see, your church needs you, and you need them. Secondly, we keep committed to being present because it's about meeting with God. You commit to be present because you can meet and should meet and to be with God. Now, I know there are some of you that say to me, but I can meet God wherever I am. God can speak to me in my kitchen. God can speak to me on my walk around the block. God can speak to me wherever I am. And I would say, correct. I would say, correct. God can meet you wherever you are. But there is something about meeting with God in His house, surrounded by His people, that you will find nowhere else. As much as it is very much, I've encouraged people to meet with God wherever they are, there is something different about meeting with God with amongst believers and in His house. Times where we feel something and sense God's presence even ever so more strongly than we do when we're online. And that, don't get me wrong, there have been times in the last 2 years where we met together online and we saw each other's faces and we experienced the Spirit where we were. But there is nothing quite that meets being in God's house, the place that we call home, and being together in person. If you've ever been to a football match, you will know that the atmosphere can spark so many emotions and so many expectations of what could be for fans. It causes people to sing. It causes people to get excited. You rub off on each other. It can inspire the players on the pitch, whether they end up winning, losing, or drawing. So how much more then should being surrounded by the body of Christ cause expectation to rise in us as we meet with God? Your passion, your worship will rub off on all the other people in the building. God wants to meet with all of us. And so when we meet together to worship and to pray and to encounter Him, He turns up and it's His delight to do that. He loves it when you worship Him on your own. But I would say that He gives it just as much joy and more joy when there's more than one person gathered together and we're meeting God together. Listen to what these verses say from Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Being together is so, so important. You can build, you can encourage, you can inspire each other. We can meet with God together, we can speak truth to each other. Thirdly and finally, as I bring things into a close, the reason why it's important for you and I to be committed to being present with believers is because you are needed. You are needed. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you feel lost, where you feel not needed, perhaps you feel like you're not wanted, that you don't seem to have a role or a purpose? I guess we've probably all had times like that. When these things happen, we will often do something very clear. We will often withdraw away from a situation. We'll often close ourselves off. But you are needed this morning. You are needed. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 14 says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. This church does not consist of just me. I might have the joy and the privilege of leading the church, but it is not just me. Church would not work just with me. Church would not work with just me and my family. Church works when there's people from every nation, every tongue, gathering together, bringing their own unique insight, their own unique skills and passions to the melting pot, to the body of Christ. God needs you and your church needs you. They need you to be present. I need you to be present. Because when we're present, it brings encouragement. When we're present, it enables those times that we have together with God to be so even extra special. I need you because I need, and the church needs you because of the skills that you bring. I don't mind what age you are, from the youngest to the oldest, you're needed. Wisdom, praying and interceding, people in the worship team, people doing kids' work, people doing the AV, people controlling the camera, people doing refreshments, people cleaning and washing the floors. People standing up here and seeking, people leading communion. People going out of here and telling people about Jesus. You're needed. We're all needed. You're an integral part of the body of Christ, even if you don't think so. Perhaps it might be that you've forgotten your worth. And sometimes when we go through situations like we have in the last couple of years, we can forget our worth. We can forget and we wonder whether people are actually care for us. Well, we do. We care for you. We need you. You're an integral part of the body of Christ. Church is not the same without you. Church is not the same without you. But if you and I don't commit to be present, I can guarantee one thing. You will miss out upon the things that God has for you in this place if you don't choose to be present. And I know that there are times when we're unwell and times when things are happening in our lives. Oh, we're working and we can't be here. And totally understand those times. Because it's not all... Life is not always plain sailing, or there are things and commitments that we have to make. But in the main, we need to be committed to be present. That we don't use busyness as an excuse. We don't use a late night as an excuse. We don't use anything else as an excuse that's perhaps not really truly valid when we look at why we might not be in church. But let's choose to be present as much as we can, because you and I are needed. So in conclusion, as a believer in Jesus, we are called to be committed to the local church, committed to him. God calls us to be present so that we can make an impact on each other and in turn on our world. We have the greatest impact when we choose to be present, rather than to stay in the shadows. Being present will take effort, but it is worth it. Being present enables us to be encouraged and to encourage. It enables us to connect with God. And it enables us to realize and understand that you and I are needed. So my challenge as we leave today would be this. Let's choose to be present. Let's choose to be present where we can. Let's choose to meet with the ladies on a Wednesday, which I know many of you do. Let's choose to be present with the men and meet together. Let's choose to be present as we pray for breakthrough, because we need you. It's not just one or two people. We need to rely on every single person that has a role to play. Let's choose to be present and choose to allow God to use us in whatever way he desires. Because you are needed. It's the place where we can meet with God and experience great times. And it is the place where we can encourage and motivate one another. Let's pray together, shall we?